I think you're going to see just straightforward dealing with China.
World leaders discuss China. It's Monday, June 14th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We're online. Find us at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Myanmar violence rages. A difficult refugee case. Asian hate continues. Feeding infants COVID antibodies. A U.S.-China space race. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The G7 Summit of Industrialized Nations concluded in Britain with a pledge to share 1 billion COVID vaccine doses with poorer nations and tackle the roots of the pandemic on a global level. The group also announced a new infrastructure financing mechanism for low- and middle-income countries called Build Back Better World, or B3W, designed to rival China's Belt and Road Initiative, the global infrastructure development investment strategy central to Beijing's foreign policy. The scope and source of the financing are still unclear. Speaking with the media, President Joe Biden broadened the message, saying the move goes beyond China.
I think we're in a contest, not with China per se, but a contest with autocrats, autocratic governments around the world, as to whether or not democracies can compete with them in the rapidly changing 21st century. And I think how we act and whether we pull together as democracies is going to determine whether our grandkids look back 15 years from now and say, did they step up? Are democracies as relevant and as powerful as they have been? And I walked away from the meeting with all my colleagues believing that they are convinced that that is correct now, too. Not just because of me, but they believe that to be the case. And so I think you're going to see just straightforward dealing with China.
Biden said he was pleased with the G7 taking China to task. He noted the last time the G7 met, there was no mention of China. But this time, President Biden said, there is mention of China. The G7 explicitly agreed to call out human rights abuses and Xinjiang and Hong Kong. Another challenge for world leaders remains in Myanmar. UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Michelle Bachelet says armed conflict is intensifying and spreading across parts of Myanmar in opposition to the military coup in February, and could result in the heavy loss of life. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Violence and gross human rights abuse continues to escalate against civil society opposed to the military takeover of the country's democratically elected government. Rather than efforts to de-escalate the crisis, UN Rights Chief Bachelet says the military leaders are building up troops in key areas. That is happening primarily in areas with significant ethnic and religious minority groups, including Kaya State, Chin State, and Kachin State. The High Commissioner's spokeswoman, Ravina Shamdasani, says state security forces continue to use heavy weaponry, including airstrikes against armed groups and civilians, as well as civilian objects, including Christian churches.
Credible reports indicate that security forces have used civilians as human shields, shelled civilian homes and churches, and they have blocked humanitarian access, including by attacking humanitarian actors. Already, more than 108,000 people have fled their homes just in Kaya State over just the last 3 weeks. Many have fled into forest areas with little or no food, water, sanitation, or medical care.
Shamdasani says the High Commissioner's office has received credible reports that military armed forces have occupied, fired upon, and damaged hospitals, schools, and religious institutions in military action. She says at least 860 people reportedly have been killed by security forces since protests erupted against the military coup on February 1st.
Meanwhile, sweeping arrests of activists, journalists, and opponents of the regime have continued across the country, with credible sources indicating that at least 4,804 people remain in arbitrary detention. The High Commissioner is deeply troubled by reports of detainees being tortured and of collective punishment of family members of activists.
High Commissioner Bachelet says Myanmar's military has a duty to protect civilians. She says the international community must demand that it stop the outrageous use of heavy artillery against civilians and civilian objects and hold Myanmar's leaders responsible for their actions. She notes in just over 4 months, Myanmar has gone from being a fragile democracy to a human rights catastrophe. She adds the military leadership is responsible for the crisis and must be held to account. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Demonstrations mark second anniversary of Hong Kong uprising. Blasts on buses in western Kabul kill at least 7. Gas explosion in central China kills at least 12. Taliban reject foreign military role in guarding Kabul airport after troop exit. Phnom Penh's floating fishing community faces eviction. Expanded coverage of these stories and so much more can be found daily. Just visit us at Facebook at VOA Asia and our website, voanews.com. We're glad to have you with us as we continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. An Australian official says a Sri Lankan Tamil family that had unsuccessfully sought asylum and then was held on a remote Indian Ocean island cannot be resettled in New Zealand or the United States as earlier suggested. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Please help us to get her out of detention and home to Bilola.
Priyanada Selindram pleads on social media for her daughter's freedom as the three-year-old recovers from sepsis and pneumonia. The pair was flown to a hospital in Perth, leaving another daughter and the children's father on Christmas Island, a remote Australian territory in the Indian Ocean. The Tamil family was denied asylum by the Australian government in 2018 and have been held for more than 3 years. The government has said they have no right to stay in Australia. They were taken from their home in the state of Queensland and sent to a Christmas Island detention centre in 2019. Earlier this week, Home Affairs Minister Karen Andrews suggested at a press conference they could be resettled in the United States or New Zealand. Opposition Labour leader Anthony Albanese told a media conference this week their treatment had been appalling.
These young girls are Queenslanders. They should be brought home. The idea that we're looking for other nations to take them is quite frankly breathtaking. They should be granted visas based upon the ministerial discretion.
Andrews has now said the Tamil family can't be resettled in another country because resettlement arrangements with New Zealand and the US apply only to official refugees. The Australian government won't compromise tough immigration laws that allow for the indefinite detention of so-called unlawful non-citizens, those without a valid visa. Andrew says the measures have stopped migrants risking their lives trying to reach Australia by boat.
It's not a case of being mean. We are very strong as a government and our policy in relation to our border protection. These are long-standing policies. And quite frankly, I'm not going to have people die trying to come to Australia by sea on my watch. So let's not forget the history. We know that more than 1,200 people actually died trying to get here. Now, having said that, I am assured by Border Force that they are doing everything they can to make sure that that particular family is well accommodated on Christmas Island.
The two children were born in Queensland after their parents arrived by boat from Sri Lanka nearly a decade ago. Legal efforts to stop their deportation continue. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Happening now in Asia, Myanmar authorities have opened new corruption cases against deposed leader Aung San Suu Kyi. The military-controlled media said the new cases relate to the misuse of her charity funds and illegally accepting $600,000 and over 11 kilos of gold in bribes. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We hope the day is nice where you are. Thanks for joining us on VOA Asia. Reports of anti-Asian violence across the United States have filled headlines recently, but anti-Asian sentiment is also surfacing online. VOA's Tina Trin reports.
An increasing number of violent attacks against Asians in the U.S. have come to light, but the abuse is also happening online. 17% of Asian Americans reported experiencing severe online harassment, according to a January survey conducted by the Anti-Defamation League, a jump from 11% the previous year.
When it comes to online harassment, 75% of Asian adults who experienced harassment said it was due to their race and ethnicity. And that's actually a slightly higher share than Black and Hispanic adults who also experienced online harassment.
Sei Chung is editor-in-chief at Morning Consult, an online polling firm. The company surveyed 1,000 Asian adults in March and found that 29% had experienced online harassment, with 58% of incidents happening on social media. Chung says the impact of the harassment may be worse than what's been reported.
So a lot of Asians, like because they don't talk about mental health issues openly, suffer in silence. And what our data shows is that they're not alone.
The online environment is our environment now, and that affects people. And if it's being said online, it needs to be taken seriously as it would offline.
University of California professor Yulin Xuan has studied the proliferation of anti-Asian hashtags on Twitter.
Hashtags are really, you know, the new type of graffiti on the wall. It's a way to identify yourself to a particular group. It's a way to find people with similar ideologies.
Xuan and her fellow researchers analyzed more than 700,000 Chinese virus hashtags in March of 2020 and found that half were combined with anti-Asian hashtags.
It creates this really racist belief against these people and has real-world consequences.
It's harder to determine whether a cause and effect relationship exists between online sentiment and real-world violence, but Xuan says it's worth investigating.
At some point, we need to see that these correlations and these signals are so large that they can't be ignored anymore.
While online hate speech is contagious, the opposite is true too, says Georgia Tech professor Srijan Kumar.
If we can start spreading counter speech messages, if we can support, encourage, and express solidarity towards and defend Asian entities, then that essentially creates a cascade effect.
Kumar says exposure to counter speech can potentially discourage users from turning hateful. In the fight against online hate, these experts say it's about the power of words. Tina Trin, VOA News.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. All India Institute of Medical Science studies show the Delta variant of COVID-19, first detected in India, can infect people even after they've received one or both doses of a COVID-19 vaccine. Thai health authorities say the Delta variant has infected people in 11 of the 77 Thai provinces. You'll find this and more on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As we continue with VOA Asia, concerns about the safety of the COVID-19 vaccine are common, especially when it comes to inoculating very young children. A new study suggests that some mothers may be passing along antibodies to their infants. VOA's Dilgi Tomochin has more.
Dora is 6 months old. His mother, Nagihan Dede, was visiting her family in Turkey when she found out she was pregnant with her son. Then the coronavirus pandemic broke out and she was stranded in Istanbul for months.
We never got out. I just went to see my doctors because we didn't know what the disease was.
She returned to the U.S., and in October, 5 months after returning from Turkey, Dora was born. Within weeks, the U.S. began its vaccine campaign, and Dede, who was breastfeeding, began looking into whether the vaccines were safe for her and her child.
I consulted my doctor, and my doctor told me that I also passed the vaccine benefits to my child through breastfeeding, and that it was protecting him as well.
A joint study by Harvard University and Massachusetts General Hospital suggests mothers are passing on COVID-19 antibodies to their babies. The study included 131 women, 84 of them pregnant, 31 breastfeeding, and 16 neither pregnant nor breastfeeding. The research found that vaccine antibodies passed on to the babies before and after birth through the umbilical cord or breast milk.
Individuals that has been vaccinated and they are breastfeeding, they provide a more robust immune protective response to the infant versus if you've been naturally infected with COVID-19.
Dr. Sira Madad is an infectious diseases expert featured on a Netflix documentary called Pandemic, How to Prevent an Outbreak. She is also a breastfeeding mother.
While I was breastfeeding my now one-year-old, I actually decided months ago that I would pump and give the breast milk to my 5 and 7-year-old in their milk, just to pass on those antibodies and that protective benefits.
Some parents worry that the breast milk of a vaccinated mother can be harmful to the baby. But according to the CDC, these vaccines are not believed to be a risk to lactating people or their breastfeeding babies. And the U.S. Health Agency says reports show antibodies in the breast milk may help protect babies, although more data is needed to determine what protections these antibodies may provide.
So you're not going to find the virus in the breast milk. You're going to find the antibodies, the protective antibodies instead. And so it's important just to understand how the mechanism and the biological plausibility of, you know, any dangerous pose, and there is no dangerous pose in that regard. And that
doctors hope this is good news for mothers like Nagihan Dede, who want to ensure they and their children are protected from the virus. Dilge Timoçin, VOA News, Washington.
Making headlines in Asia, Hong Kong censors now have the power to ban films that endanger national security, prompting concerns that freedom of expression is being further curtailed in the city. The ordinance takes Hong Kong a step closer to the censorship of films seen on the Chinese mainland. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. This is VOA Asia. China is now among the nations that have landed a spacecraft and rover on Mars, and it is planning to increase its footprint on the heavens. VOA's Kane Faribault reports on how a new space race could help advance exploration of the cosmos.
The steady stream of data Edwin Kite reviews from U.S. and Chinese rovers simultaneously exploring the surface of Mars keeps him busy at his University of Chicago laboratory.
You can quickly go through a loop of making a discovery, forming a hypothesis based on that discovery, and sending a new spacecraft out to test it.
Gathering information in Kite's field of study had traditionally been accomplished using telescopes and analyzing meteors and the few moon rocks U.S. astronauts brought to Earth in the 1960s and 70s. But the new Mars missions are helping Kite and his colleagues obtain a more direct and complete understanding of Mars, thanks to the information the craft and rovers from the different countries have collected throughout the Red Planet.
We're at a really early stage of Mars exploration. We've only scratched the surface of what there is to discover. We don't know which country's investigation is going to stumble over something that unlocks the next stage of exploration.
During a U.S. House of Representatives appropriations hearing that was conducted remotely, NASA Administrator Bill Nelson, a former astronaut and former U.S. Senator from Florida, signaled alarm at the recent success of the Chinese space program, which he says isn't confined to the Red Planet.
They want to send 3 big landers to the South Pole of the Moon, and that's where the water is. And we are still a year or two away from a much smaller lander going there.
Which is why Nelson is urging lawmakers to support NASA's Artemis program, which plans to return humans, including the first woman, to the moon, with Mars as an eventual destination. Nelson says China is on a similar path.
I think that's now adding a new element as to whether or not we want to get serious and get a lot of activity going in landing humans back on surface of the moon.
China is gaining rapidly on the U.S., and the Europeans are also in this space race.
Rocky Cobb, a professor of astronomy and astrophysics at the University of Chicago, believes a new space race could be positive. Cobb would like to see the U.S. and Chinese space programs collaborate rather than compete.
There's a lot of talent in China that we could make use of, and a lot of resources in China, and they have money to explore space.
But both Kite and Cobb acknowledge there is a limit to how much cooperation can realistically occur between the United States and China.
So the technology involved in a peaceful exploration of space can also be transported to military uses.
There are legal barriers to bilateral cooperation between NASA and the Chinese space program, but those don't apply to non-NASA funded work by academic institutions.
Which is why Kite and Cobb and the scientific community they represent worldwide continue to pore over the tantalizing clues relayed from Mars in an effort to understand the origins of our own planet and species, they say isn't confined to national borders.
There is only one Mars. It doesn't belong to the U.S. It doesn't belong to China.
Kane Fairbaugh, VOA News, Chicago, Illinois.
NASA sends squids to space, plus the world's wealthiest man makes out-of-this-world travel arrangements, and a soccer star talks game with an orbiting astronaut. VOA's Arash Arabasadi brings us news from space.
From a launch pad at Florida's Cape Canaveral, private space flight company SpaceX launched its 22nd commercial resupply services mission to the International Space Station. The CRS-22 delivered more than 3,300 kilograms of cargo, including the first two new solar arrays to help power the ISS. Also on board CRS-22 were 128 newly hatched bobtail squid. Sea creatures in space are part of an experiment called Understanding Microgravity on Animal-Microbe Interactions, or UMAMI. The University of Florida's Jamie Foster explains why.
We all have microbes that are helping our bodies with our digestive system, with our immune systems. Microbes are essential for our health, animal health. And so what we don't really understand, the full mechanisms of communication, the dialogue that's happening between microbes and animal cells. And we know even less when we're in the space environment.
Foster says the project aims to understand how the stressors of space impact the healthy interactions between microbes and hosts. She says squid have similar immune systems to humans, but as they are simpler animals, researching their microbial interactions makes an easier model to understand the effects of space flight on more complex animals like humans. Which could be good news for the world's wealthiest human. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos announced his plans to join the first crew aboard his Blue Origin capsule.
Do you see the Earth from space? It changes you. It changes your relationship with this planet, with humanity. It's one Earth. I want to go on this flight because it's a thing I've wanted to do all my life. It's an adventure. It's a big deal for me.
It will likely also be a big deal for Bezos' brother and fireman, Mark Bezos, whom Jeff invited along for the 10-minute hop aboard the New Shepard suborbital vehicle. It will be the first time a capsule with crew flies attached to the New Shepard, and its flight date of July 20th falls on the anniversary of the 1969 Apollo 11 moon landing. And finally, a video call between French ESA astronaut Thomas Pesquet and French soccer superstar Kylian Mbappe. Pesquet, floating aboard the ISS, compared the flight to space to a roller coaster ride with 10,000 times the power. He also complained to Mbappe about the difficulties of playing soccer in space, saying the ball goes up but never goes down. Mbappe will soon be playing soccer on Earth at the pandemic-delayed European Football Championships. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
That's our program for today. Thanks for joining us on VOA Asia. You may continue. We're online. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We thank our team that brings you this program, Service Chief Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.